It's the place where today's trending stories meet common sense and intelligent insight.
Kind of a, what I feel like is a pretty balanced perspective.
And a few laughs along the way.
I like knowing things.
This is the Angie Austin and Mike Opelka Show.
Hello, friend. It is Angie Austin. We'll start with a few of the headlines here on this Monday, Mike. Lava from the Kilauea volcano in Hawaii has reached the Pacific Ocean, and it's causing problems with breathing because there's this laze. The hydrochloric acid is released when that lava hits the water, and a guy was hit by a chunk of the lava, and it shattered his leg. So that's the first lava injury. And we also want to talk in detail about possible solutions in the wake of the Texas shooting. And Starbucks is making an announcement that everyone is welcome to use their bathrooms, whether you're buying anything or not, whether you need to take, you know, a little bath in there, a little bird bath, as Mike calls it. If you're homeless and you want to come in and sit down for a while and use their bathroom, everyone's welcome.
Yeah, it's kind of just like a way station now, the Starbucks Oasis. Come for the latte, stay for the free toilet.
Also, Texas school districts, some of them now are allowing staff to become school marshals. And I want to talk in depth about this veteran who's calling for veterans to get jobs and protect schools. And I think it's a very simple solution. And a lot of people don't want to turn our schools into jails per se, but I want more security and I want metal detectors. And we're going to talk about maybe making it more like an airport.
Yeah, we'll have an honest conversation about this and not one that overreacts or goes to extremes as we tend to do. I did, Angie, avoid the royal wedding despite the fact that CNN had 12 hours of coverage of it on Saturday. 12 hours of uninterrupted coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, when they came out of the party, Harry and Meghan, and they left the first wedding party to go to the second wedding party because, you know, you have a castle where you have your reception, and then you have to have another castle where you have your reception, your second reception, and you drive there in a one-of-a-kind electric Jaguar because you're just like the rest of us, right? That's I got that feeling because that's what the media kept saying. They're just like us. These are the royals that are just like us. I would just love to say, stop it. They're not like us. They're not going to live like normal people. They're not going to sweat the bills. What they're going to do is fly off now to Australia, where they no doubt will continue their work in public service as they have an army of servants, a national allowance that is granted them to live in their castles. So again, I'm still mad about the royal wedding.
Yeah, I think they should take the poor part out of the vows when it's a royal wedding. I don't think they're going to have to stick to each other through any kind of poverty situation. And the Bishop Curry out of Chicago was the star of the wedding. Pippa may have starred in Kate's wedding and William's wedding, but the star of this wedding was Bishop Curry. Oh, and we want to talk a little bit about the box office. David at the snack bar joining us. Welcome, David.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. Great. Give us the lowdown.
Well, Deadpool 2 debuted at $125 million, which it took the box office. A little bit off of projections. Projections were $130 to $150 million. So it's a little bit lower than the first one, but I'm still very, very respectable and very good. Avengers Infinity War fell to second with 28.7. That still gives it $595 million in 4 weeks, which is awfully impressive. Book Club, The Counter Programming, came in third with $12.5 million. Life of the Party fell to $7.7 million and Breaking In to $6.5 million. It's a weekend that was dominated by superheroes. And this coming weekend with Solo coming up, plus Deadpool and Avengers out there, you can look for the three of them taking about 95% of the box office.
Wow.
Also coming up, but it should be a big box office for the holiday weekend. Coming up after that in the next couple of weeks, you've got Ocean's 8, The Incredibles 2, which I'm really looking forward to, and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. It's going to be a big summer.
So does everything have to have a number in it? Ocean's 8, Jurassic World, well, no, that does not. Deadpool 2, is that what it takes to have a hit today, a number in the title?
Quite often, yeah. I mean, studios like doing sequels because it's a known and proven product that they'll, you know, people will come see again.
I love it. Yeah. I love the promo for Jurassic World where Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas are trying to bring a velociraptor on as a comfort animal on the plane, which, you know, we've heard crazier things happen. So, all right, David, we'll talk to you on Friday and get the lowdown on the movies. Now, Mike, you have an argument to continue coming up, don't you?
Yes, I do, with John LeBouc about the investigation from Robert Mueller. We will get into it.
I love what Mike says, too, during the break. He's like, well, he's going to talk about so-and-so, and I think so-and-so is the clown. Oh, I can't wait for this argument. That'll be later in the hour. We're going to talk about the Texas school shooting and possible solutions next. Hey, Michael Pelka, Angie Austin here. We're talking about the Texas shooting. And, Mike, there's several things that I'd like to cover here. The dad of one of the victims has spoken out. The Texas governor is calling for a moment of silence today at 10 a.m. Central. J.J. Watt is offering to pay for the funerals. Kelly Clarkson was speaking about the shooting last night. And then Mark Kelly, and that's, I think, something we really want to flesh out over the weekend, talked about possible solutions and solutions that don't just involve taking guns away, solutions that involve protection. And like the protections we put in place at American airports, for instance. And he spoke, I believe, on Fox News on Sunday.
Yeah, Mark Kelly, the astronaut and the husband of Gabby Giffords, the woman, former congresswoman who was shot by a crazy person whose name I will never say. None of these people, like you, I think you and I agree on this. We're not going to promote any of these awful folks who kill others, use a gun to kill others because there's a hole in their hearts. And sidebar, Angie, ADD moment, because we haven't had a chance to talk about this since it happened. What's wrong with a generation of predominantly males, young males, who think that when their life isn't going well, the only answer is to take the lives of other people? That really bothers me. And whether it's with a firearm, as this guy had, but he also had bombs he was making. What is causing it? What is making that the solution? That, I think, really bothers me.
Well, the other thing that bothers me is here's a kid that the way it's kind of fleshing out now, according to the father of one of the victims, that he liked a girl and she finally told him to knock it off in front of people, which was apparently humiliating to him. And so here you've got a young girl who's on several occasions and she'd heard that he had a girlfriend as well. And she says, you know, no, I'm not interested. And the story is, seems to be fleshing out that he specifically targeted her, went right up and point blank shot her in the face, saying another one bites the dust as he killed each kid. And that for some time he was targeting people in these like about four classrooms, and that, you know, he spared people that he quote unquote liked or whatever. And it was interesting because my son said that. Just an odd thing he took out of this, that, you know, how you treat people matters in terms of, he said, you know, that people remember how you treat them, and that he actually went around. And I'm not saying that people in any way, shape, or form did anything to harm him, but this girl he certainly harmed because he had some kind of personal vendetta. But it's interesting that my son said how important it is to always be kind to everybody, because some of these kids that act out are bullied. And I agree with you. Like, we need to, how do we teach them that the solution to a girl turning you down or to being picked on at school is not to come in with a shotgun in Texas 90 degree weather underneath your trench coat? And a lot of people are like, didn't anybody think this was odd? But I think that people who are saying that aren't in the hallways. I volunteer sometimes in the middle school. The hallways are complete chaos. I don't even know if I'd notice a kid in a trench coat.
But they were saying if you had, as you have often suggested here, a school resource officer at the entrance to the school, somebody sees a child, a young adult wearing a trench coat in 90 degree weather, walking in, and you go, hold on a second there. What's with the trench coat today? You might have stopped this. We can speculate all day on this. It's all hypotheticals. But I need to play these clips you sent me from Mark Kelly because these are so good. Thank you for this.
And again, his wife was shot. That's a big
reason.
His wife
was shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The two of them are both gun owners, and they are people who support the Second Amendment, but they just want some different restrictions on guns. And Kelly was on Fox News yesterday.
Make sure that irresponsible person can't get the gun in the first place.
And that's one of the restrictions is that they're proposing, making sure irresponsible people can't get a hold of guns in the first place, either by having guns mandatory locked up when they're in the home, especially a home with children, or putting stricter regulations on the background checks. Now, that's going to get a lot of pushback from NRA members in terms of background checks. And we have talked about that here, too. Because if you go in and say, I had a PTSD episode and it's checked off on your doctor's form, some people want you precluded from owning a gun. And there are different levels of, I'm going to use a politically incorrect word, crazy. There are a lot of different levels of crazy. And mental health issues are something we haven't defined properly. Mm-hmm. But Kelly talks about that. But he makes a point, again, a great point that you and your husband Mark have talked about when you talk about securing schools, and he compared it to airports.
We should make it more difficult. I mean, figure out a way to prevent people coming in the door with a firearm.
And we did, after 9/11, instantly make our airports safe. And it's a giant hassle. I don't know if you saw this. I saw a 96-year-old granny in a wheelchair getting the complete body pat down, including getting her hair puffed up by the TSA member. Now, some of that I go, really? You know, you're not this. Are we worried about exploding hair? No, but we have made our airport safer. You can only get into the terminal through that one funnel. And maybe people are saying that maybe we should do that with schools. One entrance, had there been just one entrance to that school. But then again, how many kids? How many kids are at that school? And are you going to be able to get them all in?
You can. It may just take a little bit longer. You have them come a few minutes earlier. I mean, there are schools that have metal detectors in them at the entrance.
Oh, I was in New York City for 25 years. Some of the school security is a little tougher than the airport. But you're a parent. Your kids are going to school today. The former education secretary, Arne Duncan, the Obama former education secretary, was very upset about this over the weekend. And he said he believes all parents should pull their kids out of school until this is solved.
I think I kind of like that idea. And I know that's not normally something I would support. Here's why I support it, because I feel like we're just as parents kind of waiting around and hoping it doesn't happen at our kids' school because we know that the schools don't have adequate security. I live in an area where we've had several mass shootings, including Columbine and the Aurora Theater shooting. And so I feel like there should be more done, particularly at one of my kids' schools, where you basically get in by ringing a buzzer and they just buzz you in. And they're quite a distance from the front door. One of the parents said, well, it's better than, you know, some of the schools where you just walk right in. Yeah, you get buzzed in. But I'd love to do some kind of experiment and have like a backpack and then get buzzed in and say, now you guys buzzed me in, but I've got this in my backpack or whatever, you know, and like do some kind of undercover investigation and going to different schools like that, because I feel like anybody will get buzzed in. And in the middle school, they do have a security person, you know, it's kind of, there's like one lady who's like a sweet mom type who like makes you pies. Like she's there, she's not armed. And then there's a coach that's got some tattoos all over him that I think he might be able to stop you. He could tackle you. But, you know, I just don't know. There's nothing that'll prevent anyone from getting inside the schools where my kids attend. And it really bothers me. And I get those calls, as you know, that say the school's on lockdown, the school's on secure perimeter. And I play them for you because they're so distressing when you see the school is called and you hear this. The district is calling you to let you know the school is on secured perimeter due to a threat, blah, blah, blah.
Do you did you talk to your children about it this weekend?
My son and my husband talked to my son about what a lot of these kids do. They pretend they're dead. Imagine telling your 12-year-old son that if somebody does get inside his school and that he's shooting to pretend you're dead.
Well, they do say run, hide, fight. That's the new protocol. Run, hide, fight. So the first protocol is to run. The second is to hide. And the third is to confront. And that's the last resort. That's what they were teaching. I talked to some of my my younger nieces and nephews this weekend about it. Because to me, the solution from Arne Duncan, I don't think is the correct one. But you have to start somewhere and maybe you have to shock the system. And while I don't think we need to take kids out of school for a protracted time.
You know, Mike, I want to talk too about the royal wedding, but I also want to talk about this father and how he's forgiving the shooter who targeted his daughter, who turned the shooter down for a date. Angie Austin, Mike Opelka here. We're continuing the discussion about the shooting in Texas. We're going to hear from Kelly Clarkson last night. We'll hear from the Texas governor talking about steps that need to be taken. The president, of course, responded. But I think to me, the person that shocked me the most here, we're going to hear from in this segment, Mike, is a student at the school. And I also want to talk about the father of the girl that we believe may have been the target of this young shooter. And we don't need to use his name that may have been the target, definitely the target of his affection initially, because he was attracted to her, I guess, and kept, you know, asking her out. She just turned 16, so she was 15 and he was 17 when he was making these repeated advances on her, you know, really pushing that, you know, he wanted to go out with her. And she finally said, knock it off, because I guess she's very shy. And that was in front of people, and that he felt humiliated. And then he'd actually told her that he was going to kill her. And she told her parents, I think he's going to try to kill me. And if he does, I'm going to haunt him forever.
Wow. I'm flashing back to my own life experiences, and I'm sure you are, and all of us do in these situations, especially when you hear, well, this guy was asking this girl out. She kept saying no. So his answer was not to find somebody else to focus his affections on, was to kill a bunch of people, including her. It's so tragic. It's beyond any normal person's comprehension as to why this would happen. And I think that's why we see so much of an emotional outburst on every end of this discussion. And you mentioned Kelly Clarkson. There was I'm thinking there was an awards show that this happened at. It was a Billboard awards show.
Yeah.
Otherwise, in our household, known as the Who Cares Awards show, that's where this one goes. But Kelly Clarkson, pardon me, who I love her voice. This woman has the voice of an angel. The original American Idol winner, just a stunning, beautiful voice. But why do we have to get any kind of political or life advice from a singer? I don't know. That's what we do. But this was Kelly Clarkson last night.
Why don't we change what's happening? Because it's horrible. And mamas and daddies should be able to send their kids to school, to church, to movie theaters, to clubs. You should be able to live your life without that kind of fear. So we need to do better.
Okay. I'm giving the new Kelly Clarkson last night one for the most obvious reaction to a tragedy. And here's why she won.
Why don't we change what's happening? Because it's horrible.
Thank you. Why don't we change what's happening? Because it's horrible. Yes, that's the most obvious reaction. And that's going to get played a million times today. I get really fed up with, if you couldn't tell, with celebrities opining on stuff like this without a solution. There's no solution. And yet she will be escorted from the stage to her waiting Escalade limo and have at least one armed security guard with her at all times.
Yeah. I like what we talked about in the last segment. Mark Kelly, his wife was in politics and shot, and he is speaking out about solutions. And it involves something that you and I have talked about and my husband has suggested. And now we're hearing from a veteran who says the same thing, that like vets can be used at schools, and also making the schools as safe as an airport in terms of, you know, having gun detectors. I had another mom tell me, I don't want my kid's school to be like the state pen when he, you know, goes into the school. I'm fine with that. I'm all about prevention and making a show of force to let people know that the school is protected. And I noticed that there was a cop car in front of my son's middle school, and I volunteered there. And he said that they've been around more often since the shooting in Florida. And I'd like armed, people in the hallways at my kid's school all the time. I'd like metal detectors. I'd be fine with military, you know, people, whether it be a veteran or active, you know, in front of the school. And we raise money for all kinds of stuff. I mean, we have auctions. We are raising money for the library. We raise money for computers. Why not? The parents will raise money for safety. Now, I know that every school has a different level of income surrounding it in terms of the neighborhood and the parents that whose kids attend these public schools. But I know that we raise a lot of money for the schools my kids attend, and they're public schools. And I know we would be more than willing to raise money for protection.
And that's a very visible response. And you're talking about that. I moved to New York in 1988, Angie, and in 1989, New York City averaged 6 murders a day. 6 a day. Try and wrap your head around that. That's a massive number. New York now has fewer than 500 murders a year. And that was because, in most part, Rudy Giuliani, when he was mayor, put more boots on the ground. He put cops on the street. They had a visible presence of law enforcement that made the bad guys go away and made the good guys more comfortable. So that's a common sense solution. I got a couple of clips. Can I share one?
May I just share one more thing, Mike, before we play the clip? Cynthia Barrientes, she's a veteran, and she said, you know, after the school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, she said this is a twofold problem helper. Because she suggests these uniformed military veterans should be posted at schools not only as a deterrent to take action if necessary, but she says it would also help employ veterans at the same time. And she painted a sign that said, "Hire your vets to protect our schools," and walk the streets in Texas and San Antonio on Saturday morning. And a lot of drivers were honking at her, showing their support. This is a very simple solution, and it makes sense.
Simple and logical and good for all the vets who we know need our help and support, and so many of them we've let down. I have a clip from a student from that school, from the Santa Fe High School, Dakota Schrader, who said she has absolutely no interest in returning to Santa Fe High School after the shooting. She said there's a whole lot of questions and that she and her classmates were caught off guard. But this clip that you and I both kind of our jaws dropped when we heard this clip, especially disturbing.
Our school never trained us. They never took the time to actually teach us a procedure for school shootings like they would for hurricanes or anything.
That to me is stunning, if that's true.
I know my kids do go through drills. I don't know what you can do to train a kid like this young girl who was living in a trailer with her mother that didn't really have the resources to be homeschooled or put in a private school, who felt this kid was going to shoot her because she turned down his advances. She was just supermodel beautiful and had so much promise for her future, not just because she was beautiful, but because from all accounts, she was a very kind and loving girl and shy and finally turned him down. So I don't know how you can train her when he walks up and point blank shoots her in the face and specifically tried to mutilate her to the point, you know, like that she was unrecognizable, that her mother has not even identified the body yet because she's been told she's unrecognizable. The father did speak out and say he's a Christian and that he is not calling for the death penalty and that this kid had problems and he's trying to be as forgiving as he can. But his daughter told the family that she believed that she would be killed by this kid. Okay, so with that said, the fact that they didn't even attempt to train these kids, my jaw did drop because my kids are going through training, but I don't know what we're going to do. We need to protect them. Training is great, but we need to do something to protect them. And this call to not attend school anymore until something is done might be something that parents start following.
Wow, that's a very interesting response from you. Let's see here. I think I got Trump or the governor.
It's time in Texas that we take action to step up and make sure this tragedy is never repeated ever again in the history of the state of Texas.
That's Governor Greg Abbott, who said it's time to step up. Now, here's a guy who won based largely on a huge support from the gun lobby. And I will tell you, the world's eyes, or at least the nation's eyes, will be on Texas Governor Greg Abbott to see what he does in response to this horrific attack.
So many people are talking about taking guns away, and that's going to be, they're going to hit a cement wall. Okay, but if we can figure out a way to keep the guns out of the schools and protect the kids, I think that's going to be the answer that's in the middle that we might all be able to agree upon, Mike.
Amen.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? We can help you if you qualify. Your student loans can be taken out of default. We can stop the wage garnishments, stop the collection calls, and stop the seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and see if we can help you reduce your student loan payments. One quick 10-minute call could solve them right now. So call the Student Loan Helpline now. 855-380-FAST, 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 855-380-3278. This is a fee-based document preparation service to help you access free government programs. Call for complete details. Not available in all states.
Angie Austin here, Mike Opelka, my co-host, and our friend, political commentator John LaBute. Yay, they had a little FBI Mueller investigation chit-chat last week, and I like to call it a good argument. But with that said, guys, before we get into the big headlines of the day politically, there is a headline out that may or may not shock you. John LaBute, yay, I just want to mention, Mike already knows about this. Hillary Clinton speaking, she said publicly she is not over the 2016 election.
Oh, I'm so surprised. Yeah, she was it. Yeah, by the way, Al Gore is not over the 2000 election, and it's 18 years later. I mean, you run for president, you spend your entire adult life running for president, which both of them did. You win the popular vote, lose the electoral vote. There are questions in both campaigns about shenanigans. I don't think you ever get over it.
And yeah, Mike, wasn't there a hat introduced as well?
Well, we got to address Gore first, because what John's referring to is fabulous. Al Gore gave a commencement address in Maryland where he encouraged the students to use your power to go out and end Donald Trump's presidency early. He's becoming like the grandfather of Beavis from Beavis and Butthead. That's what it's sounding like. But it's just insane. And John, you're so smart to bring that up. Both of these people win the popular vote and lose the election and never get over it. And Hillary at Yale pulled out that Russian hat and thought she was just so clever. It's just so wonderful to see.
So you remember after 2000, we didn't see Gore for a while after he conceded, and he put on an enormous amount of weight. He grew a beard for years. He was had a full beard, big, thick beard, and put on a lot of weight, which he's never lost. He was a really good-looking guy back then. He's become huge, frankly. And now he's thrown himself into productive things, but he's never gotten over it. And Hillary, from what Ed Klein, my friend, tells me, his reporting has been that Hillary is drinking a lot. She sits up there in Chappaqua bemoaning her loss, pounding down wine with friends, and has not gotten over it.
Well,
and they'll never get over it.
There was a report of a Chardonnay pipeline that ran from Napa all the way to Chappaqua.
Now, I have to say, we all have different coping mechanisms. And that I'm not a drinker, so I can more relate to Al Gore with the gaining of the weight, because I do like to, you know, sometimes soothe myself with a chocolate cake or, you know, maybe a nice big glass of milk. So I can kind of relate to Al Gore soothing himself that way. But come on, people, there are a lot of things you can do. You're smart individuals. Let's find a way besides drinking and eating too much cake to change the world. You don't have to be the president to make an impact. It's their egos that are so bruised that
it
they can't.
It was my turn. It was my turn. Jay, stop it.
That's what both of them have said.
I didn't know he took turns for president. But LaBoot and Mike, I'm almost afraid to get this started. The situation that you debated, Mike, go ahead and introduce the topic a little bit, because this is what you guys talked about last week is the big headline.
Yeah, all weekend long as we're hearing about the embedded possibly two different people keeping an eye on the Trump campaign, reporting back to the FBI all weekend long, and kept thinking, what does John think about this? So, John,
I'll tell you right now what I think, because your first sentence has an incorrect statement to him.
Okay.
It's not embedded. What we now know, even though the guy's name, Professor Stephen Halper, who teaches at Cambridge in England, who was, once the FBI opened a counterterrorism investigation of the Russians influencing the campaign and having contacts with Papadopoulos and Carter Page, they tasked this guy to go talk to them. And he talks to each of them once. He's not in bed in the campaign. He takes one guy out for a drink and he offers the other guy to write a paper about energy policy. And he's trying to figure out what is their relationship with the Russians. That's proper investigative technique. That's not working in the campaign. He didn't work in the campaign. He's in England. But he's doing what you're supposed to do when you investigate whether the Russians have improper contacts with Trump campaign people.
So a guy who everybody is calling a Cambridge professor, but also has connections to MI6 in England. So we're just supposed to believe that this is an innocent guy. He's just an innocent professor that we had connected to the Trump campaign. And I believe
connected
that more
to the Trump campaign. He's an American. He's not British. He's an American citizen who has been used by the CIA, the FBI, and MI6 as an investigator. There's nothing wrong with this. And it shouldn't have been made public. The guy's name shouldn't have been blown, because he's ruined now for anything and all the people he's talked to. This is improper. And this is what you're supposed to do when a campaign has, first of all, the first guy, Carter Page, back in 2013, way before Trump was running for president, the FBI was onto that guy then as an agent of the Russians. They were already thinking he'd been turned back then by Moscow. Now he pops up in the Trump campaign. Then Papadopoulos pops up in the Trump campaign, meeting with an Australian in a bar in London and getting information about Hillary's hacked emails and the Russians have them and want to give them to the Trump campaign. The FBI would be remiss if they didn't investigate this.
Well, I guess you can say that. But you can also then wonder why all of this was obfuscated for so long. And you can wonder why Mark Penn, the guy who was tied to Hillary Clinton's campaign, is calling this a desperate deep state, the Robert Mueller investigation. No?
Well, first of all, Mark Penn was my pollster when I ran for Congress. So I know Mark very well. And I didn't hear that quote. I don't really care what he says. He ran Hillary's campaign in 2008. He's hardly a source I would necessarily trust on this thing. He's not involved in it.
No, but he's got connections to the Clintons.
But the whole thing we argued a week ago about has proved to be a bunch of baloney, that the FBI implanted someone in the Trump campaign. And the latest thing they were all throwing out was to entrap people into some sort of scheme. That's not what happened. They picked up info that the Russians are talking to the Trump campaign. Right away, your red flags go off. Red flags. Why is a foreign government talking to a campaign like this, sub rosa, all over the place? And we now know they did it in multiple places around the world, not just Trump Tower. And of course, they're supposed to wonder what's going on here.
And we go back again to why is this only focused on Trump when Jill Stein sat at the same table at the same meeting as Michael Flynn? We go to the money that the Clintons were handed from oligarchs for their foundations and possible access of Hillary Wins.
Can I tell you why, Mike? Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
Because Trump won the election. That's why. The charge by Rosenstein and the Justice Department to Mueller to investigate Russian meddling, which he's doing, and he's already indicted people, and Russian meddling and cooperation, if there is any, with the Trump campaign. That's what the charge is. Jill Stein didn't win. Bernie Sanders didn't win. The Podestas didn't win. So that's why he's president. We have a right to know if our president's campaign was breaking the law in conspiring to break federal law with the Russian government. We have a right to know it. Jill Stein, completely agree. No doubt. In the thing, they should find out about her, too.
I was going to ask you, just because Jill Stein and Hillary didn't win, if they committed what some people are saying is a crime, shouldn't they, too, be prosecuted? Shouldn't they, too, have their campaigns and campaign workers who did the same indicted and questioned and have their lives ruined, too?
Okay, so, in the indictment of the three Russian entities, including the Internet Research Agency and the 13 Russian individuals, go online, all of you, and download that thing and read it. It's about 37 pages long. It's fascinating reading. Jill Stein is specifically mentioned in there Russians ordered that she be helped.
Mentioned, but not also no, none helped. Of these. We're running up against the wall here, John.
But we're not yet on the American half of this case. We don't know yet whether Trump's people, Stein's people, any of them, helped and worked with the Russians. That's the $64 billion thing we're waiting for Mueller.
Chapter 3 of this argument next week.
Thank you, John.